This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. This is Frida Liu. It's Raise Your Game. John Hagedorn from Better Training Solutions, facilitating meaning from rhythm interventions. We're on to our last episode around this series. And, you know, we've been going through this whole idea of drum circles and intervention, how these helps with organizations these last few weeks. And, you know, you talk a little bit about the role of how a trainer stops becoming a trainer and starts facilitating.
Yep.
Now, what's the most important thing a facilitator needs to know to make a rhythm intervention meaningful to participants?
Okay. The whole time we've been together now, these past 3 weeks, we've been talking about how these rhythm interventions are used as training tools. Just like any kind of activity is going to be used as a training tool. I use rhythm interventions because in addition to being a facilitator, a training facilitator, I'm also a drummer, so it makes perfect sense to bring this into my training programs. I know someone else who, in addition to being a facilitator, is also involved in theater.
Mm.
So a lot of the activities that she brings in are drama-related, theater-related. But the most important thing that a facilitator needs to know is, what is it that we're really trying to achieve with this intervention? There's got to be some kind of meaning behind it. There's got to be an intention behind it. Now, we looked the other day at a couple of weeks ago at the three different levels of corporate interventions with or rhythm interventions. And we said that one of them was corporate entertainment. And there, you know, our intention is just going to be to have a good time.
Mm.
That's not true in training. There's got to be something else behind this. So the most important thing your facilitator really needs to know is, what are the objectives that this client has that they want to achieve with the drum circle or with the rhythm game that you're playing? So you have to begin with the meaning in mind. Before you can start to work on rhythm intervention or anything else with the client, you have to know what it is that they want and what you mean with what you're doing here. So there's a model that I've devised. It's a five-step model that begins with, let's go through this one at a time now, because you asked me what's the most important thing, and the first step is the most important thing. The first thing that we have to be clear on is the corporate objective.
Mm.
What do they want? What are they trying to achieve?
It's the same, I guess, in everything.
Well, it's the same as in any other training program, all right? But the thing that makes it different here is the rhythm.
Mm.
We'll get to that, and you'll see how the rhythm makes it different than just choosing a writing exercise or something like that. When we begin with our corporate objective here, it's going to require some input on the part of the facilitator and some meeting with the corporate client so that they know who's coming, so that they know what these participants do on their jobs, and so that they know, most importantly, what gaps exist between where they are now and where the company wants them to be. And then we need to know the outcomes. What must this intervention do so that these people can perform better on their jobs? And once this is solid and once it's understood on the part of the facilitator, we can move on to step two. And this is choosing the correct rhythm intervention.
Mm-hmm.
Because in addition to being clear on the corporate goals, you have to be clear on how your rhythm intervention will work to meet these objectives. It's not always fun and games. It's not about playing drums. It's about using the rhythm intervention as a metaphor in order to illustrate this to people in a different way, right? So how do we fill the gaps? What are the takeaways that the intervention are going to provide? And how can the participants be guided with appropriate debriefing after this intervention is through? Because if you don't know what you're going to ask, or if you don't know what your intention is, then you're going to be coming to the end and thinking, well, let's see, what can I do about this? What kinds of questions
that I... It was a great 2 days.
Yeah, gee, that was fun, huh? And that's what happens in a lot of training. Boy, that was fun. Now let's go back to work, right? Okay, so what's happening here now is we're working once again with the meaning in mind when this is chosen, when the intervention is chosen. All right. Now, the difference, you ask me, isn't this just the same for any training program? Yes, it is. But the thing that makes it different here is that what happens with a rhythm intervention is that you get this idea of group entrainment that we talked about last time, the first week that we were together, this whole idea of everybody working together at the same time, right? Because once the group is entrained, they are like-minded.
Mm.
Everybody's thinking the same way at the same time. We're all concerned about the next beat. We're all producing these alpha waves together. We're all kind of relaxed and blissed out with drumming here. And that's why rhythm interventions work so well as a training tool, because they entrain people. They get everybody together here. Now, what happens here is we take advantage of this entrainment, because if you've got everybody thinking the same way, then during breaks in between the drum circle, and we need breaks.
Yeah.
People can't sit there banging on drum for a whole hour. You got to take a little break here and let them relax. And it's during these breaks that you can talk to your objectives. Example, not too long ago, I did a drum circle with about 180 people. And it was a part of a team building weekend where they were trying to get people to understand their corporate goals a little bit better, or their corporate values. And I was told, all right, you're doing this drum circle so that they understand the value of how to evolve.
Mm-hmm.
The whole theme of the drum circle was evolve, right? So we take our first break, and I ask them, okay, what's evolving? What's happening here? And just leave it open. And since people are kind of blissed out and ready to talk, everybody's got an answer. And you work with every answer that you get.
Right.
And take another break. And then we ask a more difficult question, moving towards these objectives once again. How have you evolved so far over the past 40 minutes since we've been drumming? And finally, when you come to the end, that's when you can start debriefing. You know, what's causing you to evolve here within this drum circle? And then we start to use that as a metaphor as we get into the last two steps here.
Okay. So, sorry. The first thing was objectives.
Right. Understand your objective. The second thing is to choose a rhythm intervention.
Mm-hmm.
And the third thing is to get the group to entrain.
All right. And we'll address the other two in just a moment.
In just a moment.
John Hagedorn from Better Trading Solutions from Race Your Game, BFM 89.9. This is Race Your Game on Enterprise. Good morning. This is Frida Liu. If you've just joined us, John Hagedorn from Better Trading Solutions, we're facilitating meaning from rhythm interventions. We were talking about this five-stage thing that you go through, you know, when you do rhythm interventions as well. Now, we went through objectives, we went choosing the right, correct rhythm intervention.
Right.
And getting the group entrained.
Correct.
Now, does the whole thing with rhythm interventions, they seem similar to experiential or activity-based learning, which is something that, you know, we all talk about now.
Right.
Now, where does the meaning of these activities come from, though?
Okay, that's going to come into these last two steps here. Experiential learning, we understand now, is very good for training programs, because in addition to just sitting there and listening, the participants are also doing. So we're addressing more than just their auditory and their visual parts of their brain. We're also getting them out there and exercising, so it becomes a kinesthetic experience as well. Now, we've covered these first three steps. This is all very experiential. Everybody's playing drums. We've got the objective in mind. We're working with the meaning in mind. We've got the rhythm intervention we've chosen. The group is now entrained. So we've reached orchestration. Everybody's relaxed. There's a sense of accomplishment. The alpha waves are buzzing all around, right? Everybody's like-minded. And this is now where we can start working with this group and start facilitating the meaning of this. What does this mean to you? The group is in full orchestration, so they're in performance mode. They know how to play. They've got the content, so the training is taken care of, and they know how to play together. So the process is taken care of. So the facilitation is done here. So now what we do at this point is we can start asking them questions that are relevant to what happens on their job. And some of the questions that we can ask them are things, just general questions, for example, would be, how do you feel?
Mm-hmm.
What happened? What did you learn? How does it relate to what you do on your job? If somebody says this was the best thing, that you can say, well, how do you measure best? Right? Try to get them to be specific as possible. Give them alternative situations. What if we did it this way? Or what are you going to do next? And just let them talk about this and experience this on their own. And everything that they give you is going to lead them to fuller consciousness of what they have just experienced. All right. There's a guy. His name is Itai Talgam. I don't know if you've ever heard of him.
No, I haven't.
He's a trainer as well, a facilitator as well. He does a program called the Maestro Program. And he's the one who, quoting Leonard Bernstein, he says, you have to have content and process to create meaning.
Mm.
And that's what we've just done here so far with this in the model. We've got content from the training. We've got process. And now we're trying to get meaning out of this. All right. He shows us different conductors. Once again, different conductors from the orchestra using different techniques to lead to this place. But when he reaches Leonard Bernstein, Leonard Bernstein is an American conductor who, when he conducts the orchestra, just lets them go on their own. And whatever he gets back is full performance from the orchestra. And he might do a little bit of tweaking or something like that, but he's not in control anymore. He just lets them take control. And that's what you have to allow to have happen at this stage in facilitation, is let them take control. And that's hard for some trainers and facilitators to give away control.
Mm.
But if you love something, you really have to give it away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then it grows. Now, finally, we're at the last stage here. Once we've facilitated the meaning through our questions and everything, what we've got to do now is look at the last stage, where what we're going to be looking at is the outcomes and the applications of this.
Mm-hmm.
How do you take this back and make it work in your workplace? It's one thing to experience it in the drum circle and to look at the metaphor, but it's another thing to take it back. All right. I can give you an example of how this worked one time. I did this drum circle for a local automobile manufacturer. We had a drum circle of about 50 people. They had just acquired a new model, and some of their engineers were going to be transferred to that department. So they wanted change management. So we did a little drum circle to teach change management. First, we entrained. We ran the drum circle for a while. And then we did this intervention where what we did was we played together for a few bars, and then the objective was to stand up, leave your instrument behind, and move on to the next instrument. Play together again for a few bars, and then at my signal once again, stand up, move to the next instrument.
Okay.
So you're constantly changing throughout this whole process. Then when it's all over, after everybody's changed, I just say to the group, okay, what can you now tell me about change? And some of the things that they give me are just gems. Yeah, you never know when change is going to happen.
Yeah,
right. And when I change and I get a new instrument, I end up playing the same thing I played on the other instrument just because it was familiar.
Right.
So we haven't really changed at all.
Right.
Some people say, "Wow, change is really exciting because." So you get all of this input from these people about change and writing all these things down on flip charts so it's permanent, so they get ownership of that, so they can look at that later on. And then when we talk about the drum circle, we look back at those flip charts and say, okay, now here's what you told me about change. How do we make this now work in our workplace? All right. And then you give them opportunities for transfer into the workplace. Have them come up with some kind of action plans or something like that, so that when they take it back, they know exactly what they've done and what they're now supposed to do.
Right. Just to go through the five steps you were saying, objectives, choosing the correct rhythm intervention.
Correct.
Get the group entrained.
Yep.
Facilitate the meaning.
Correct.
And then outcomes and applications.
Correct. Right. And if the facilitator has done his or her job correctly, then the outcomes and the applications will be exactly the same as the objective. And then that brings us right back to full circle here.
Right.
And there are so many applications of rhythm interventions in a corporate setting.
Mm.
Just to give you an idea of some of them that I've done and some that other people I know of who are doing this internationally. We do this for team building, as we talked about. In fact, we built our own team last time with our drumming. We'll do that again. Okay, let's do that again. We can use it for group dynamics, diversity, leadership, strategic planning, project management, interdepartmental communication, increasing listening skills, business communication skills. We talked about how to use this for business presentations to overcome stage fright, right, by soloing. Breaking down barriers, some of the silos that we have in our departments sometimes. We can use it for problem solving, training needs analysis, stress management, obviously, and also for teaching assertiveness. It's an exciting, up-and-coming, activity-based approach to organizational development, and something that you should be experiencing in your company as well.
Mm. So I will be grabbing 8 people right now.
Good idea.
From the BFM team. What will we be doing?
We'll be doing the change management exercise just to see how it works and just to illustrate it a bit.
Let's see how ready the team is.
Okay. So what we're actually going to be doing is changing our instruments, and that's why a circle is necessary.
Oh. So we need to just spread out a little bit.
Get in touch with each other.
Spread
out so you can pass your instrument to the next person.
Okay.
Now, the way we're going to start is I'll be playing something that I would like you to play. So I'll go like this. All right, ready? This is a take. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Everybody play. Ready, play. Three, four, kick it up a little bit. A little bit faster now, and two, three, four, one, two, ready, play. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So what we've been doing here is just changing instruments the whole time. But quickly, can you tell me from your own personal experience here, what can you tell me about change?
It's messy.
What else?
It's fun.
Good. What else?
During the handover was a little bit more difficult, but once you get into it a little bit, and then you get your own rhythm going again.
You get your own rhythm going after the change takes place. Good point. What else?
Quickly adapt to the new instrument.
You can adapt very quickly. This is beautiful stuff. What else?
It's a new instrument, but the beat was almost the same.
Yeah, you can use the same skills even when the change takes place.
Yeah.
Great stuff. Good. Anybody else?
You notice at the beginning that there's like a sociological component because everyone plays a similar syncopation.
Uh-huh.
But then after a while it gets more dissonant as everyone sort of gets a bit more confident.
But there was still music in it.
Yep. And it always comes. It gets dissonant, but it always comes back together. Huh?
Yeah.
See, beautiful stuff. See what we can do now.
There are no bad notes.
Good.
In conclusion, BFMers are good at change management. Raise your game, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.